You know, sometimes life throws us a curveball. Just when you think you have it figured out, it curves, becomes uncatchable. Ezekiel and his wife had a great life. Most likely, he was a temple priest in the land of Judah. That was before the world came tumbling down. For those of you who have studied Israel history, you know that in the year 598 BC, the heavy hand of Nebuchadnezzar, who was the ruler in Babylon, came and overthrew Judah's home country, the southern part of Israel. They had removed the king from the throne, and they started exporting the leaders from Jerusalem and Judea out of their home country and into Babylon, into what is now modern-day Iraq. Ezekiel was one of those folks. And the world that he and those Israelites knew changed on their long walk from Jerusalem to Babylon. It was the opposite walk that their ancestor Abraham had walked when he had come following God's call. All of their hopes, all of their aspirations, all of their understandings of God's role in their lives changed. And in some cases died on that long walk to Babylon. Now we find Ezekiel and his wife living in Babylon with a whole slew of refugees from the land of Israel. They're living there and they've gotten sort of accustomed to this land and to the little ghettos that they have been placed in. Not assimilated like the Samaritans, but living isolated land in the area. Their lives have changed. And they've been taken away from everything they understood about their religion, and now they're having to figure out what their religion really matters now that they have no temple and no homeland. And many of them are beginning to forget who they are, their sense of identity, and they're beginning to forget their God, Yahweh. You know, often when life throws us a curveball, it's often easier to settle for what that status quo is when the life is readjusted, rather than trying to fight for the values that we held before it all changed. You see, in the year 587, just 10 or so years after Ezekiel makes his way out of Jerusalem, Jerusalem falls. And not only does Jerusalem fall, but his wife dies. Everything that he saw as a value in his life is dead. Ezekiel 37:11 describes his plight this way, and the plight of all who have found our hopes dashed when life was thrown us a curveball. Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Where is hope in life when we have lost our identity, when we have lost our purpose for living? It is into this world of dryness, of hopelessness, that the Lord directs Ezekiel to go into the desert. And Ezekiel treks up the mountain, across the pass, and begins looking down into a high desert valley. And he sees them. Bones are scattered across the valley. Everywhere he can see are bones. It's as if a massive war has taken place on this plain and all the dead bodies have been left to the elements and to the animals. Ezekiel begins walking across the plain among the skeletons. There are the leg bones which once had carried grown men into this place, the fingers and hands which once caressed children and loved ones, the skulls which had breathed life. And now they are scattered haphazardly, bleached, starched white by the hot sun. As he walks, this massive army has been drained completely of life. Life seems as hopeless in this moment, in this place, as if hope could ever exist anywhere else. The hot, dry, high desert valley has sucked all the life away. Where is hope when the life that we once felt has been taken away? And it's in this utterly hopeless picture that God calls forth something else. Mortal, can these bones live? God asked Ezekiel. And Ezekiel was smart enough to give God room. He says, "Oh Lord, you know." And then God begins revealing to Ezekiel a message of hope. Not only for him, not only for the people of Israel, but for us as well. "Preach life to these dry bones, and I shall bring life to them," God tells him. You know, we get curveballs in our lives sometimes, don't we? Events happen that we never saw coming. World events, local tragedies, things that seem to overwhelm us and change us. I remember sitting at one of Marcia's birthday parties back on September 8th, 2001. We're sitting around a Friday night. We were sitting around a dining room table with a bunch of friends. All of us were in our late 20s and early 30s, and we were talking about our futures, about all the things that we had planned. And one of the sets of our friends were Marines, and he was a pilot, and he was talking about how that coming year he was going to be able to get out, and they had already arranged this job with Delta. Everything was set. Life was in place. And then in just 3 days, their entire lives, as well as all of ours, were changed. Instead of flying safely across the homeland with Delta, he was headed to places that would soon found very familiar. Places like Afghanistan and Iraq. And flying sorties over his home country to protect it. Life can change in a second. We go to sleep with one reality and we wake up with another. We leave church one Sunday and then we come back the next and find that our lives have completely changed. And sometimes we wonder, where is God? Our lives feel like that valley of dry bones, dead and bleached white. And we struggle for breath. And while we go about our daily tasks, those ones that just sort of have to keep us going, we really do feel dead inside sometimes. Can we find hope in the midst of all of our desperation? That's the question that God asks us today. And Ezekiel's words still haunt us. Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. I ask in your worship guide this morning just a simple question. What setbacks or trials or struggles or frustrations have you felt recently? What curveballs have you been trying to hit? This is how Mary and Martha felt when Jesus finally arrived in Bethany. It's been 4 days since their brother Lazarus has died. there in John chapter 11. Martha goes out and she meets Jesus on the road as he makes his way in. She's doubled over in grief. And she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not be dead." You know, she's seen Jesus heal unknown beggars and give them sight or make them walk. People that had no connection to him at all. But what about her brother Lazarus? Lazarus had housed Jesus when he had come through Bethany. He had eaten with them. He had sat riveted around the table as Jesus taught about this new way of living. Even in this person of Mary, who knew Jesus so intimately, Martha, who knew Jesus so intimately, we find the markings of hopelessness and despair. But then she finishes her statement. She says, "But even now," in verse 22, "even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." And then a couple of verses down, she finishes with a confession of faith. "Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the middle of the world." In the midst of her hopelessness, she was so connected to Jesus, she still knew who to place her hope in. This is what hope looks like when life throws us curveballs. Look again at Ezekiel. God commands Ezekiel, "Say to those dry bones that I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live." And so Ezekiel begins to walk through this valley of these lifeless bones, a place where all seems hopeless. And then he follows God's command and he begins to preach. He lets loose on those dry bones like a fiery mountain preacher. "Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." And suddenly, from all around him, Ezekiel begins to hear it. This amazing rattling. It starts off quietly from the far end of the valley, and then it grows in intensity as the sound moves closer, and then he begins to look around and he's astonished because these dry, bleached, dead bones are moving, attaching themselves to one another at just the right places, and human skeletons are beginning to be assembled. And as he watched, tendons and muscles grow on the bones, attaching in just the right places. And then the skin begins to grow, covering the organs in this body, giving them personality and individuality and purpose for those bones. This sermon of hope preached before the eyes of Ezekiel was for the eyes and ears of the people of Israel who were living in exile, who felt hopeless. You see, there is hope for individuals stuck in their lives. There is hope for those of us who are afraid to move past the comforts of the status quo. There is hope for us who seek God's hope in our lives. Often our attitudes toward hope resemble the people of Israel rather than the dry valley of bones who become life. Instead of sounds within us where we feel hope rising, reconnected by the Word of God, sometimes what we experience is more like the old children's, chorus. Humpty Dumpty, what is it, a nursery rhyme? "Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again." You see, sometimes even for us as Christians, we know about this hope. We know we're supposed to have hope. But we don't feel life coming back together. We feel more like Humpty Dumpty than we do in those valley of dry bones coming to life. Life as we know it seems to be destroyed. We don't see a way to put life back together again. Walter Brueggemann, Old Testament theologian, writes about the power of hope to change our lives. He says, hope reminds us that the way things appear now is dangerously unstable. He says, do not dream to believe that our present reality is absolute. Don't take our present reality seriously. Don't bank on today because it will not last. One fret tells us why often it is hard for us who live comfortable lives to find hope. You see, people who are poor, people who don't know where their meal is coming from day to day, often have more hope than we do. Because they live such precarious lives where the present reality is never for sure. They know all about curveballs because they live it every day. They've come to expect them. That's why many of us are so connected to the people of Israel, the Hebrews at this time. We find life so comfortable, so easy. We don't want life to change because it's good the way it is. And so when it does change, we have a hard time reconnecting and finding that hope. This is when the human spirit begins to wither. When we know we're supposed to have hope, and we know why, but we don't. But hope is revolutionary even for those of us who struggle in this area. Because it gives us the ability to dream beyond the challenges and curveballs and pits that life throws our way. Hope gives us the ability to see beyond our present reality. I put in your worship guide today, how do you resist when God tries to put you back together? In Bethany, Martha returns to town to call on her sister Mary. The house is full of visitors who have come to mourn. And Martha says, Mary, the teacher is here and he's calling for you. They rush out of the house and up the street to see Jesus. Everyone thinks that she's going to the tomb to mourn. But instead, when she gets there to Lazarus' tomb, she finds Jesus. She falls on her knees and she begins to worship him and affirming her faith in him, but also expressing her frustration. She says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And then there's this amazing event that happens. Jesus has come to Bethany on purpose, and he has stayed delayed so that something miraculous could happen. He knows that Lazarus is dead. But he is so connected to Mary and Martha and to their pain, he begins to cry as well. He knows that something miraculous is about to happen. He knows the present, but he also knows the future. And he's able to find us in our present and still give us hope with the future. Jesus connects to where we are and says, life isn't just going to stay there. Let me give you the hope for tomorrow. As the skeletons formed into human beings back in Old Testament Valley, we see the work of God through Ezekiel is not done. Look at verse 9 and 10. And then God said to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. From across the mountains, the wind of God begins to blow into the valley of lifeless bodies. And Ezekiel watches, he sees from afar off that these bodies that once were bones and now have skin, now have life. And they begin to move and to sit up and to walk. The valley of dry bones, bleached white in the hot, arid desert, now stands before Ezekiel as a mighty army, alive through the breath of God. Hope enters our world through the breath of God. It reminds us of that creation account where God creates Adam and then he blows into his nostrils the life that would sustain us all. In our life, we can allow God to begin to put us back together, but still miss the hope in life that God has in store for us. We say yes to God. Yes, I want something new. Yes, I know there's a hope in front of me. We begin coming back to church. We begin getting back involved with people's lives around us. Maybe Bible study and Sunday school. We start finding opportunities of ministries. But our hope is not complete until God's breath begins to blow inside of us, until the Spirit dwells within us. Ezekiel ends with these words, "I will put my Spirit within you, and you shall live." Romans 8, 9 and 10 says it this way, "But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells within you." When life seems to have thrown us a curveball, when we struggle to get life back together because we are so stuck in the present moment, it is the hope that comes from the Spirit of God within us that gives us the life to keep moving forward, to keep creating within us something new. Are you looking for this kind of hope this morning? Do you need Jesus? Or are you lost, out of hope, completely cut off? Are you afraid of change? The secret to hope, the secret to life is this: Christ in you. That's the secret. That's the hope. Look on the bottom of your sermon guides this morning. I want to give you a spiritual exercise to bring hope back into your life. This is a prayer. It's a verse from Colossians 1, 27. This is from the Phillips translation. Let me read it for you. The secret is simply this: Christ in you. Yes, Christ in you, bringing with him the hope of all the glorious things to come. I want to invite you that over the course of the next week, that this becomes a verse that you memorize. And that you memorize it so that it becomes a way for you to simply, throughout your day, repeat it to yourself. So that when hope seems to be lost, when you feel like all of the pieces are on the ground and you can't quite put them together, that this becomes a reminder to you that our hope, that the secret of hope is Christ in you. That's what we see in the final part of the story of Lazarus and Jesus. And through the hopelessness of death, Jesus steps forward. He's moved by the grief of his two friends, Mary and Martha, and he walks over to the tomb of Lazarus. It's built into this hill, and he asks him to roll away the stone. And Martha can't believe it. She says, "Jesus, you know that it's been 4 days, and he's already begun to smell. It's hot in that cave. It's hot out here. He's already begun the decomposition." You can almost hear her repeating the vision of Ezekiel as he walked through that valley of dry bones. And Jesus says, Martha, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So the mourners wondering what's going on. They gather around and Jesus says in this loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And then we have these most amazing words in Scripture. Look at John chapter 11, verse 44. The dead man came out. Sometimes we are so adjusted to hearing and thinking about this passage, we forget how utterly miraculous and amazing those words are. The dead man came out. Bound by the linen strips that they buried him in, Lazarus walks slowly out of the tomb. And Jesus says, unbind him and let him go. We all need hope. We need life. And it all comes from Jesus. The question for us today is this: will we allow Jesus to breathe hope into our lives? Will we allow Jesus to breathe hope when we feel like all we are is a skeleton? When we feel like the pieces are on the ground? When we feel like we can't change because of how hard it will be? Will we allow Jesus to breathe hope into our lives? Will you pray with me? Lord, may your hope fill us today as your Spirit renews itself inside of us, giving us the courage to make the changes that we need. We pray these things now in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus. Amen. Our hymn of response is hymn number 317, Only Trust Him. As we sing, I'll be down front. If you have a way that you need to respond to God today, feel free to come and let's pray about it. Let's sing together.